The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name's Ken Swanson. This is the AP Laboratory. It's the game preview edition, getting you ready for a Week 7 matchup for your Kansas City Chiefs going to Denver to play the Broncos. Big week. The scene of Patrick Mahomes, the fear that we all experienced from Patrick Mahomes last year en route to a Super Bowl. Cannot wait to see what he's up to this year with this. Here to help me talk about this game are my dear pals. First, find him on Twitter at ChiefInCarolina, Matthew Lane. What's good?
I'm confused why we're burying the lead of Big Ten college football starting back up this evening as you are listening to this podcast. Tonight, Big Ten football begins as Wisconsin takes the field. They have linebacker prospect Jack Sanborn. That should be a name Chiefs fans want to follow because he is a relatively athletic, good in coverage linebacker. I know some guys out there, I'm looking at you, Barley Hop, that might want a guy like that on this team. Speaking of which, how are you doing today, buddy?
We got Kent bringing up one of the single biggest, worst, most fearsome moments in Chiefs recent history here, and Maddie bringing up the sloppiest version of football that there could be, Big Ten, in the very first week. Guys, I'm going to save this. Since Kent brought up Patrick Mahomes, how many times are we going to see him QB sneak this week? Andy coming off the top rope, giving Mahomes a chance.
Zero.
But no, he can run one. I'm fine with it.
I've made the joke and people are like, too soon. Too soon.
I legitimately love that we have not run a QB sneak since, but yet they're willing to let him run like a speed option and keep the ball if he needs to be. I do think that is quite funny. But I just want to say, Big Ten football and sloppy, they go together perfectly. So, I mean, what's the difference this week or any other week?
Guys, we've been doing this show for a long time, and I can say with confidence that's the worst 2 minutes and 30 seconds this show has seen. Let's just go ahead and move on.
I gave it 5 stars.
Please leave a 5-star review. But also, we're just going to talk about the offense now. We're to talk about the new look offensive line getting another shot, it looks like, with the lineup. Mike Remmers probably going to be involved. Mitch Schwartz did not practice on Thursday. So what do we think about this new offensive line getting another shot, Maddie?
I mean, I think they should. Obviously, when Mitchell Schwartz comes back and is healthy, he should take back over as a starter. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But the interior offensive line, I think they should keep rolling out there with what they have right now. Kelechi Osemele is not going to be coming back anytime soon. I see no reason to push Daniel Kilgore outside of the starting lineup until he proves that he shouldn't be. I hope Nick Allegretti keeps his spot even when Schwartz does come back. I think he's played his way to earn that spot. Unfortunately, this isn't what you're going to call the biggest test for this offensive line. There are some good run defenders. I mean, having to deal with Shelby Harris, Mike Purcell, those are guys that interior offensive line will have their hands full with when the Chiefs try to run the football. If they come out and do to the Broncos what they did to that Buffalo Bills defensive line, then okay. I mean, the NFL really does need to look out because they got something clicking. I wouldn't expect it to be that dominant given the defensive interior defensive line the Chiefs are facing, but this is a good test. Hopefully the Chiefs feel more comfortable with a whole week of practice, dropping back into some deeper dropbacks, throwing the ball downfield a little bit more, seeing what these guys have in terms of pass protection, because they didn't get a ton of looks at it against the Bills. And when they did, it looked like a bunch of guys that weren't quite ready in terms of the practice, the preparation for the week of working with one another in the spots that they were. So I'm happy they're getting another shot. I think this is a good test against a team that shouldn't provide the biggest pass rush, but will provide a unique challenge in terms of how they can handle the run.
That's absolutely the case. This would be a lot different if Jarrell Casey and Von Miller were lining up and they were still healthy. Like, you would be a little bit scared for Patrick Mahomes' well-being. I think this is going to be a great warm-up. I think we're going to see yet another opportunity for this offensive line to gel, work on their communication, work on their ability to work together. Because if this works out, and like Maddie said, if this is another good performance, then all of a sudden you're turning around with the Jets. I say let it ride. Let this thing ride as long as they're putting together good performances, especially if they're blowing open run lanes when the defense is trying to take away the deep pass. Keep rolling with it until they get comfortable, until they can work together, pass off twists, stunts, things like that going forward. Because, yeah, right now it just looks a little bit loose, but I think we all liked the power that they played with and the ability to move bodies up front. So give them more of that run.
Yeah, I just want to continue to see sample size in this group. There's some positive indicators, and, Even if Nick Allegretti gets replaced later, back, they put Mike Remmers back at guard, you've seen at least that Allegretti has some functional ability if something happens. The depth of the offensive line's been tested, and it's better. I think I like it better than last year's. Remember Cam Irving this time last season? A lot better. Speaking of that offensive line, they're going to be blocking for a new addition to this group, Le'Veon Bell, in the mix potentially this week in Kansas City, Maddie.
Hopefully he's a go. I mean, I would like to see Le'Veon Bell. I would like to see him get on the field. Darrell Williams had a quality game against the Buffalo Bills. I just think if you insert Le'Veon Bell into his role, his exact situation, if the play goes the same way, he picks up a lot more yards and does so a lot quicker than Darrell Williams did. So I do think at the very minimum, the Chiefs get a huge boost in that second running back, your third down running back going forward. I hope this is a week they get to utilize him. I do want to see, is Le'Veon Bell cooked? I don't know. He's been playing behind a pretty bad offensive line on an even worse offense for a while now. He hasn't been put in a chance that he can really succeed. And outside of a few outlier games, I don't think you can take a whole lot away from his stint with the Jets. I'm ready to see him on a new team, see what he looks like. Does he look like a guy that can still play? This is a good place to start against this Broncos team. And I'm really excited to see if the Chiefs build on that kind of split gun formation they had against the Bills with Travis Kelce was in the backfield with Clyde Edwards-Helaire or with Darrell Williams. I'm very excited to see if they put Le'Veon Bell back there with one of those other halfbacks and just to see what they can do out of it. There was a few reps where they had some stuff working in the passing game. They just didn't quite get the pass protection for. Obviously, the run game was working really well with that threat of a vertical player out of the backfield. I think they'll be able to pull it off with two halfbacks on the field at the same time. I am excited to see what they can do in terms of the passing game. And I think if there is a team that you can take advantage of their coverage players, Denver Broncos are definitely one of them.
Le'Veon Bell is going to feel like a kid in his parents' king-size bed with the amount of room that he is going to have compared to when he ran with the Jets. He doesn't have just these ridiculously stacked boxes anymore. Teams can't do that to the Chiefs. They just can't, because the Chiefs will make them pay. Matter of fact, we welcome teams to stack the box against Patrick Mahomes, because he's just going to throw vertically. We're going to see a lot more downfield passing. Le'Veon Bell is going to enjoy the space he's going to have, and I think we're going to see a much better version than we saw in New York, and I think we're also going to see many less reps for Le'Veon Bell than I think some of the national media is expecting. I think you should take a key from the fact that he called Clyde Edwards-Helaire before he came in and said, "Hey man, am I going to be stepping on your toes if I sign with Kansas City?" I think that should tell you where the hierarchy is. It's Clyde, then it's Le'Veon. Take that for what it's worth. I still think we're going to see a good amount of Le'Veon, though.
I think Le'Veon fits in nicely on third downs. I think that's where you're going to see him utilized. That's kind of where Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been pulled off the field anyway. So Le'Veon Bell, proven pass protector, plenty of experience there, dynamic ability as a pass catcher. I think that could be, you know, kind of a role for him early on. We've got to talk about more weapons on the side of the football, because I think we might continue to see some wide receiver room roulette, Maddie.
Absolutely. I think if you listened to Greg Lewis come up on his press conference yesterday when he was able to take the podium, the way he speaks of DeMarcus Robinson is that of a guy that is infatuated with the player. I think the Chiefs absolutely love DeMarcus Robinson. People are very confused on why he gets on the field at times. I mean, one, I think you kind of saw why against the Bills. But two, the coaching staff loves him. They trust that he will be somewhere to make a play when they need him to be. If he's not the main guy on the play, that doesn't bother them. They think he will be in the right spot to make a play. Even with the very questionable hands, they still have trust in DeMarcus Robinson to be on the field when it matters and make an impact if given the opportunity. They feel the same way about Byron Pringle, judging by the way they talked about him. It didn't seem like he got quite the same level of praise as DeMarcus Robinson, but you can't argue with the success he has on the amount of targets he's got. He's essentially, I think, had 19 targets in the NFL with 18 catches on them, or out of the catchable balls. He's been excellent when given the opportunity. They trust him to make a play when he gets the chance. When it comes to Mecole Hardman, they do trust him. They say they like him. They say they like things about his game, but there's a lot of stuff he has to work on. This is a good game to work on it. This cornerback room isn't great. If you want to put Mecole Hardman out there, have him challenge these cornerbacks that are missing their top cornerback, AJ Bouye, this year. Have him go out there and work against a rookie. Have him go out there and work against some other guys like Bryce Callahan or Duke Dawson if he gets on the field. This is a game where Mecole Hardman might not be at a major disadvantage technique-wise from the guy lining up across from him. If there is a chance for Mecole Hardman to start showing some path to development, this is the week to do it. If not, I do think the Chiefs coaching staff might continue to keep his snap count pretty static. They might even reduce it as they try to work in these other guys that they just have more trust in to make plays when they get those opportunities.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of different looks out of the Chiefs wide receiving core, because frankly, Michael Ojemudia, a guy that we liked and we talked about a lot in the offseason as a potential Spags corner, is still a rookie. He hasn't seen some of the quality of weapons that the Chiefs can throw at him. Now, Bryce Callahan may follow around Tyreek Hill. They may try and bracket Tyreek Hill a little bit, but I think that they can throw a lot of guys at Michael Ojemudia. He had a really good game against the Patriots last week. The key is, it's the Patriots. They have terrible wide receivers. So he's going to see a significant step up in quality this week. Devontae Bosby played a lot against the Patriots. They just don't have a lot of quality corners out there. Now, they do a good job in the middle of the field. Their safeties are good, but they don't have a lot of quality corners out there. So I think you're going to see Andy Reid, Greg Lewis, Eric Bieniemy try and rotate a lot of those guys through there, just throw a lot of different looks and beg them to try and defend all of the quality receivers that the Chiefs can throw on the field.
All right, boys, players to watch. Who you got, Craig?
I've got Daniel Kilgore. We know that Austin Ryder is dealing with a quote-unquote injury, but Daniel Kilgore is the starter. I think that you're going to see Daniel Kilgore continue to be the starter as long as he and Patrick Mahomes' sort of communication and ability to get the snap off continues at a high rate. We saw one fumbled snap this week. I think we're going to start to see a little bit more cohesion. I think you're going to see Daniel Kilgore take a much bigger role. He talked about how at the start of last week, he knew that he was going to be the starter. So he had one full week in that role. What's week two going to be like, especially with Nick Allegretti for week two? What's that going to be like moving forward? You're just going to see the communication improve. He is the guy that sets protections up front there for the offensive line. I think the more time he gets on the field with these guys, the better. So I'm looking to see growth out of Daniel Kilgore as much as you can out of a veteran.
My player to watch is the guy I just talked about, Byron Pringle. I think that this is a week where Byron Pringle is going to get his chance. He is going to have a few more targets than he's had in this last week or throughout this whole season, and he's going to make them count like he always does. I don't have a particular specific reason why this week all of a sudden things are going to change, other than the fact that I really do think that the Chiefs have a little bit more confidence that on any given play, not a play specifically designed for Mecole Hardman, but on any given play that Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson, they trust more to be in the right spot and to come through when they need it. I think Byron Pringle is going to continue to play well enough that it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. And I think this is a game where you might see him actually surpass Hardman in snap counts. You might see him get a few more targets, especially on third downs when they're trying to convert them, because he might be their best possession receiver after Travis Kelce this week. He's a guy that I think could really take that next step this week to where he earns more playing time while there's only one injury rather than multiple injuries to the wide receiver room.
I'm going with Nick Allegretti, the replacement at left guard. I think you've got to be pretty encouraged by what you saw out of him. He was moving people better than you've seen. I mean, you saw he kind of looked a little Coleccio Semele out there moving people the way he was, just changing the line of scrimmage. I thought was very impressed by him. I want to see him in pass protection. I want to see a little bit more there. I don't think we got a great representative sample of what he's going to have to expect in pass protection. His feet don't move great. He's kind of a road grader, and his feet are heavy, to say the least. I want to see him have to move his feet a little bit in pass protection. How does he handle that? How does he deal with quickness? Some kind of stuff I want to see moving forward before, you know, we kind of have an idea about him. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the defensive side of the football right after this.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Continuing the game preview edition for Chiefs Broncos in Denver. Time to talk about the defense. Craig Stout just perched up in his chair. Let's talk about the Denver offensive line, the depleted Denver offensive line, Craig.
Yeah, Dalton Risner is going to be out of this game. That probably means Austin Schlottman is going to be filling in there. If you're asking who, you're absolutely correct. Who? Lloyd Cushenberry is the center for him, a guy that we liked, but he's a rookie. He's still growing into the game. Graham Glasgow is a guy that I actually called the Denver best free agent move this offseason, but he has been very poor. DeMar Dotson has not been good. Realistically, the only guy on that offensive line that's been any good this year is Garrett Bowles, and I know that may surprise some people, but Garrett Bowles has been particularly good, but the other four guys can be beat. I think you're going to see, if you see a similar approach that Steve Spagnuolo took against the Bills, trying to limit some of these deep dropbacks, these deep passes, I think you're going to see Chris Jones have a lot of success on the interior, and I think you're going to see a lot of blitzes get home, especially with some poor communication. And then you can see Drew Locke get rattled. I think this is a prime example for the Chiefs pass rush to string together back-to-back good performances, and they can start to feel pretty good about what they're doing there, what they're dialing up, and Steve Spagnuolo can call whatever he wants and know that it's pretty much going to get home this week.
It's going to be interesting because the Chiefs defensive ends, no matter who it is, has a long history of being Garrett Bowles' dad, which is kind of weird because he's like 50 years old as is. But the Chiefs defensive ends have dominated the Denver Broncos, specifically Garrett Bowles, since he's got into the NFL. I would be incredibly shocked to see Bowles continue his hot start just because every time where I've sat down and watched him and really studied him, it has been against the Chiefs, and it's terrible. I know he plays a little bit better against other teams, and that the word is he's been better this season, but if Garrett Bowles can't go out there and stop Frank Clark, if they don't at least have to force Frank Clark to go line up on the other side to tee off on Drew Locke, there's just no chance. And let's pretend that he does stop Frank Clark. They're just going to move Clark over to DeMar Dotson, who has not been great this year. Lloyd Cushenberry, I think, is having a Garrett Bradbury-like start to the season. He has been horrendous by just about every metric that you can rank offensive line play. And when you watch them, it shows up. There's just a lack of strength, a lack of quality pad level. He's been not good. Putting an Austin Schlottman next to him and then flanked by Graham Glasgow on the other side, like, I don't see any way this offensive line has a ton of success against the Chiefs. I'm saying that, and we're going to get to it here in a little bit. They're coming off of a week where they somehow found rushing success against a very stout defensive line. So maybe there's something else going on here, but I would be very shocked to see the Chiefs defensive line not have another big game. The one concern, lack of depth at defensive end. With Taco Charlton out, Alex Okafor is always dealing with injuries. There is absolutely no other dynamic player across from Frank Clark. Quality player in Tondo Pasanio. I feel good about Damone Harris stepping in and being able to play. I just think there's a lack of dynamic pass rush across from Frank Clark. It's really going to be up to Clark, Jones, and then the games and the blitzes that Steve Spagnuolo and Brendan Daly like to play.
Maddie, you'll be surprised by this, maybe. Garrett Bowles, very highly regarded by Pro Football Focus. They have him as the third highest graded tackle in football this year. Very fascinated to see if that's going to hold up against Frank Clark.
I've heard he's been good this year. I have heard that.
Yeah.
I've also seen them grade Garrett Bowles higher than Frank Clark when Frank Clark schooled him rep after rep after rep after rep after rep last year. So you got to take PFF grades with a little grain of salt. But I've heard from people that I trust, and then the grade backs it up, Bowles has had a very strong start to this season.
Our guy Joe Rolls over at Mile High Report, that does their film breakdowns and stuff like that, he is not a Garrett Bowles fan and has completely flipped this year, talked about how good he's been and how surprised that he is, like went from don't even give this man a fifth-year option to, hey, maybe we should extend him now. So that's how good he's been for some of those Broncos film guys.
Going to be fascinating to see how the 28-year-old who's somehow already 28 years old matches up against Frank Clark. That is definitely going to be a potential big matchup when they do line up against each other. Craig, how about a vertical passing threat from the Denver Broncos with Drew Lock and that big arm?
Yeah, anybody who watched Drew Lock last year may be thinking, what? What vertical passing threat? He threw it short all the time. Drew Lock has the third longest time to throw in the NFL this season and the highest intended air yards of any quarterback in the NFL. And I know what you're saying. Well, he's been hurt, so he hadn't played that much. That's a small sample size. Number two is Jeff Driskel. That's the Denver backup quarterback. Pat Shurmur has these guys throwing deep to KJ Hamler, to Tim Patrick, who's actually filled in very well for Cortland Sutton, and to Noah Fant. Those guys are big vertical stretch guys, and then they've got their first-round draft pick in Jerry Jeudy that can do a little bit of that, more of a route runner, but can get open vertically as well. I just think that they have shifted to more of a vertical passing game this season. So, kind of what we saw against the Buffalo Bills, definitely what we saw against the Raiders, although that wasn't expected. You can definitely expect that the Broncos are going to come out. They're going to try and throw deep. They're going to try and take a lot of play-action shots, especially with Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay on the field. You're going to see them try and get after the Chiefs' cornerbacks. Can they put together a second good week of defending the vertical passing game?
The interesting thing about the Broncos and the fact that they're now trying to throw the ball downfield is that they're really, really bad at it. Their passing offense is not good. They might be throwing the ball downfield. They might be trying to put the ball over defense's heads. Maybe that's what the defenders are trying to get them to do. I'm not sure. But they are really... I mean, Drew Lock, he might be pushing the ball downfield. The guy's barely completing over 50% of his passes. When you break up intended air yards to actually completed air yards, he drops way down the rankings. Not having, you know, your top wide receiver, not having Cortland Sutton definitely plays a role in that. But, like, their passing game has not been good. If the Chiefs want to continue that streak, like Craig said, stop the vertical passing game. If you make them, you know, if you make Drew Lock be a little bit more accurate, you make him throw dimes quote unquote downfield, you're probably not going to get a lot of it. Just make sure your team's on their P's and Q's, make sure they're not blowing coverages and giving the Broncos easy plays, because I do agree the Broncos have shifted a little bit. They're trying to go a little bit more play action. They're trying to push the ball downfield. They're just not having a ton of success for it. You don't want to be the team that gives them easy throws. Make it tight windows, make them try to force the ball vertically, because they're taking those shots this year and it's just simply not working.
Well, I think it's not just as simple as, you know, shortening those windows. I think you can speed him up. I really do think you can speed him up, and that's kind of some of what they did with Josh Allen. Is they really focused on speeding him up. It affected him. He wasn't able to throw accurately. I think Drew Lock has some of those similar tendencies, where if you speed him up a little bit, force him to throw a little bit athletically, it's inconsistent. It's pretty inconsistent. All right, subject number three we got to talk about today. Can this group put back-to-back-to-back rushing defense performances?
I see no reason they shouldn't, given what we've already talked about with the Broncos' offensive line. And then you look at the other side of it, the Broncos haven't particularly run the ball well this year. They're coming off their best game of the season this past week playing the New England Patriots, where they finally had a really good game on the ground. But besides that, they've been trying to pound the rock to not great success. I believe their average yards per carry is 29th in the NFL this year. When you put in those injuries, that lack of power up the middle of that offensive line, you would think the Chiefs defense is in a good position to go for the three-peat on good rushing defense performances, and that'd be phenomenal. Like, this is an area of the defense that everybody thought was going to be a huge problem when you looked at last year or to start this season. But since Mike Pinnell's come back, since the Chiefs have kind of got everybody a little bit more refocused, you're getting A-plus Anthony Hitchens all the time. You've had a pretty solid run D. It helps when offenses feel like they have to, you know, score a billion points to keep up. But you've had good run performances. I think this is another week where you see it again. If you shut down the Denver Broncos rushing game, if you don't let them get into that game plan that they were able to against the Patriots, where they could control everything, they're not having to press to score points, you give them a sliver of hope. If you make them start throwing the ball because the rush game is having no performance like the rest of the season, boy, does their offense look pretty ugly. If the Chiefs can pull this off, if the Chiefs can hold them under 4 yards per carry, I don't see how the Denver Broncos offense can even come close to keeping up here.
And I'd agree with that. I know that everybody looks at kind of their running back room and they think, well, Melvin Gordon's a guy that typically has the Chiefs number, and Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman are no slouches. And I agree with that. And I actually think that they work better when they're rotating Lindsay and Royce Freeman, because they don't get so far in the Melvin Gordon hole. But take a listen to this. Running behind Graham Glasgow, their right guard, 1.8 yards per carry. Running behind the center, 3.4. Running behind the left tackle, 3.4. They just don't run particularly well between the tackles, and they try a lot to run between the tackles. They run well outside of the tackles. A situation like Matty talked about with the Bills last week, where they could find some success if they decided to do a little bit more stretch runs. Phillip Lindsay is perfect for that sort of situation, but they try and line up and run these guys between the tackles far too often, and they're terrible at it. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't find success against the Chiefs. The Chiefs need to line up. They need to play that well. Since Mike Pinnell has come back, Steve Spagnuolo has leaned on, even in their dime, he's had some Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell interior defensive fronts with better pass rushers and just Anthony Hitchens behind him, just trying to solidify the interior of that defensive line a little bit. Make sure that teams aren't going to come out and just be able to pound the rock against the dime defense. I expect them to line up and defend well between the tackles. It just remains to be seen if the Broncos are going to continue to just line up and smash it into the teeth of the Chiefs defense, or if they're going to try and run to the outside a little more.
Something I think I've really appreciated last couple weeks is I think the run fits have been pretty good. Especially this week, I thought the run fits were some of the best they've been from Kansas City. I really liked what I saw. Chris Jones, pretty gap discipline this week too. I was watching it, I was like, okay, all right, Christopher. Someone might be in his ear and he might be listening, and that could be a really good thing. You know, Steve Spagnuolo talks all the time, you know, earn the right to rush on third down. Well, Chris Jones was earning his right, and he had a fantastic football game. You love to see it. All right, boys, players to watch. Who you got on defense, Craig?
I talked about how they like to throw downfield, so I'm going with Juan Thornhill. The Chiefs' deep free safety had a good game against Buffalo. He made throws difficult for Josh Allen. He shrunk some windows on the back end. You see him week to week to week have slow progressions towards what Juan Thornhill was in his rookie season. This is another game. Drew Lock's going to come out, and he's going to try and throw deep to some bigger wide receivers. Tim Patrick's a big guy. KJ Hamler's not, but he's a very fast guy. I think you're going to see Juan Thornhill have to keep his head on a swivel, try and make sure on multiple vertical routes that he can get over the top of what he needs to, because these Chiefs corners aren't the fastest group. But with Juan Thornhill playing at a high level back there, it allows them to play physical, knowing that if they get beat a little bit by a good route runner or a good release, Juan Thornhill can cover that up. If he has a big game, I just don't see how the Denver Broncos can stack a bunch of points against this Chiefs defense.
So I'm torn on my player to watch, because I was going to go with Bashaud Breeland because I think it's actually a really good matchup for him in terms of the receivers he's playing. Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, not the fastest receivers out there. Guys that I think he will be able to get a little bit more physical with than he did last week. Even like KJ Hamler, I don't think played very much at all. I think he's kind of been losing snaps as the year's gone on. They've brought back a little bit more of a guy out of Penn State. Deshaun Hamilton's played a little bit more. Again, not a super fast guy. So I think it's a pretty good matchup for Bashaud Breeland. But as I was clicking through some snap counts, Denver Broncos like to run a lot of multiple tight end sets. That means a base defense is coming at you. That means we might get more Willie Gay. And look, I'm excited anytime Willie Gay is going to get on the football field, and I've come to the unfortunate conclusion it's only going to happen in base defense. This might be the week that you get to see a lot of base defense. We thought we might against the Raiders. We didn't get it. I hope we get it this week, because this is a team that played, I believe it looked, looking at the snap counts, they had three tight ends play over 40% of the snaps last week against New England. If they do that again, that's a lot of Willie Gay reps. Get that athlete on the field and let's see what can happen.
Just to throw this out to interrupt before Kent jumps in here, if Albert O and Noah Fant line up together as 12 personnel, what does Steve Spagnuolo counter with? Because it's not the base. He's going to counter with a sub package against that.
Albert O might run a fast 40, but he moves like a defensive tackle. He has the least functional athleticism I have seen on a football field for a guy that runs really fast in a straight line. I am fine calling him a tight end. I actually think he's a decent effort blocker. Not great, but decent. But you might not go base against that. I agree. You might not go base against that. But I believe Jake Butt and then Nick Vinette get more snaps than Albert O. Vinette's definitely a good blocker. Jake Butt's not the greatest. He's a little bit closer to Noah Fant, but I still think you can treat those two, Fant and Butt, together as a little bit of base early downs. But anyway, yeah, Willie Gay, guy to watch. Fast athlete. Broncos are going to give you a chance to use him. Hey, Kent, you can jump back in now.
Earmuffs, Missouri fans, on that Albert O talk. By the way, Maddie always picks somebody as a player to watch and then always pivots right before it's his turn. It's great. I'm not pivoting. I'm going with my guy from,
from
the beginning of the show that I want to talk about. Anthony Hitchens playing his best football as a Kansas City Chief. He's moving quicker. He's committing quicker. He's making plays. He's behind the line of scrimmage. He's closing faster. He's getting the gaps that he wasn't at other times. I've been very impressed with Anthony Hitchens last couple of weeks. Here's the thing. During the game, these guys catch way more on defense than I do. But then when I go back and watch, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Anthony Hitchens, let's see if he can continue to have success. And if that's the case, you know, this defense is going to be better. Prediction time, boys. Craig?
All right. I outlined all the reasons why the Chiefs should beat the crap out of the Broncos. The run game is going to run between the tackles where they're not particularly good. Maddie talked about the vertical passing game and how they don't complete at a very high rate. I talked about how Juan Thornhill's been playing better, and so he should be able to keep a lid on this. So naturally, I fully expect the Broncos to be able to run the ball, get a couple of deep touchdowns, and keep this game closer than it should be. I just get a bad feeling about this. I know on paper the Chiefs should absolutely walk over this team. I still got the Chiefs winning, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a nail biter against Drew Lock. 28-24 Chiefs.
I am so glad that Craig Stout picked this score, because now when I pick this embarrassing blowout, I don't have to hear about how we all picked blowouts and then it wasn't. So with that said, yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs 34. Broncos are going to score. Let's go 14, actually. I feel even more confident than I did before we started this. I had the Broncos scoring more, but as we talk through this and I look through it, I don't see. But I said this about the Chargers game, so take this with a grain of salt. I don't see how the Broncos have success against this Chiefs team. I really don't see where they have an edge anywhere on the field, given their injuries. Even if they were fully healthy, I don't think it should be close. But when you take into account their injuries, the offensive line, defensive line, cornerback room, wide receiver room, I see zero reason this game should be close at all. The Chiefs have the advantage in absolutely every department besides special teams because, you know, Chiefs special teams. So yeah, Chiefs 34, Broncos 14. Big win in Denver in maybe the snow?
Well, Patrick LeVon Mahomes is a snow game guy if that happens, so we're not worried about that at all. I am, too, picking a two-score game. We have one guy picking a four-point game, so we're okay here, folks. All the quit picking blowout people, we're not all three picking a blowout. I've got 28-13 Kansas City Chiefs. I think the defense puts together a complete performance. I think the Denver Broncos do a lot to try to just let the Chiefs run the football. I think it's pretty smart to try to take the ball out of Mahomes' hands, and the defensive looks are dictating that. So I think it's a good strategy. I think it slows them down enough. Four touchdowns still. 28-13, your Kansas City Chiefs win. That is going to do it for the game preview edition of the AP Laboratory. Chiefs Broncos in Denver. Looking forward to it. It's on a Sunday. We can all relax and actually watch a game on a Sunday this week. Looking forward to it. We'll catch you later.
No, but for real, the Chiefs are going to beat the pants off the Broncos.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.